This morning, our scripture and message come from the Gospel of Mark, chapter 11, verses 1 through 11. Mark writes, "When they were approaching Jerusalem at Bethpage and at Bethany near the Mount of Olives, he sent two of his disciples and said to them, 'Go into the village ahead of you. And immediately as you enter it, you will find tied there a colt that has never been ridden. Untie it and bring it. If anyone says to you, where are you? Why are you doing this? Just say this: the Lord needs it, and we'll send it back here immediately.' And they went away, and they found the colt tied near a door outside in the street. And as they were untying it, some of the bystanders said to them, 'What are you doing untying that colt?' And they told them what the Lord had said, and they allowed them to take it. Then they brought the colt to Jesus and threw their cloaks on it, and he sat on it. And many people spread their cloaks on the road, and others spread leafy branches that they had cut in the fields. And then those who went ahead and those who followed were shouting, 'Hosanna! Blessed is the one who comes in the name of the Lord. Blessed is the coming king of our ancestor David. Hosanna in the highest.' Then he entered Jerusalem, and he went into the temple. And when he had looked around at everything, it was already late, he went out to Bethany with the 12. The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. The old rabbi and his followers were coming near to the city. They had been traveling for days, a pilgrimage to the holy city for the highest of all holy festivals. While they had been walking most of the way, the rabbi had decided to turn to his followers. He asked two of them to travel into a nearby city, find him a colt, bring it to him. And as they did as they had been asked, they soon returned with the animal. And the old rabbi sat on it, entered into the city by the east gate, the gate of the kings. He went to the temple, looked around, saw what was going on, decided it was late, returned with his followers to their lodging outside the city. Sounds like a normal story that might happen at Passover, right? The old rabbi coming to worship with those who were following him. What on earth makes this story of Palm Sunday, the story of Jesus entering into the city of Jerusalem, so much different than an old rabbi riding in on a colt for the same festival? Why did we have all of the pomp and circumstance that goes with the parade of a newly crowned king? Why was this so much different than anything that had happened before? Or maybe we should ask a different question. Maybe we shouldn't ask why this was so different from before, but maybe we should be asking, how did this affect the revelation of God in Christ? And how might it have eventually led to the execution of Jesus some few days later? When we read through the Gospel of Mark, there are lots of places where God reveals himself through Jesus, or where Jesus has the opportunity to be seen as the Son of God. We see it in healing stories. We see it in the Mount of Transfiguration. We see it when Peter says, "You are the Messiah." And in each of those circumstances, what does Jesus do? Does Jesus say, "Okay, good, tell everybody"? No. Jesus says, in the case of Peter, he sternly says, "Don't tell anyone. Don't tell anyone." So why is it then that on this day, as Jesus is entering the city for Passover, that we have these crowds singing, "Hosanna, Hosanna, blessed is the one who comes in the name of the Lord"? Jesus, in Mark's gospel, Jesus doesn't want anybody to know that he is the revelation of God. So we have this Palm Sunday parade that changes things. The people are saying, "We know who you are now, and we are so darned happy about it. We want you to be our king. Blessed is the one who comes in the name of the Lord. Praise to you." And Jesus rides in on the colt. It changes the way that things are seen. The parade becomes the official announcement in the gospel that Jesus is the Messiah. It's the point of demarcation where Jesus kind of allows the people who think they know what they're talking about to shout it out loud from the mountaintops. Or maybe it isn't. Maybe all the shouts of Hosanna aren't what Jesus wants to have happen. And maybe the people have gotten it all wrong again. When I think about the revelations of God in Scripture, few of them have the revelry and the pomp and circumstance that Palm Sunday has. Some of the most powerful images in the Scripture we have, such as Moses and the burning bush, are revelations of God that are quiet. They're unobtrusive. They're not out there for everybody to share in. Some of the accounts of the revelation of God that are there for everyone terrify everybody except for the one who's there experiencing it. Think about the cloud on Mount Sinai. And the people of Israel gathered around the mountain, and Moses has gone up, and the people are terrified. "We do not want to have anything to do with God. We don't want to look on the mountaintop. We don't want to go near it. We just don't want to have anything to do with it." The people are terrified, except for here. The one who would be the Son of God is celebrated with a parade. The people shout exaltations. They lift him up as a king, and they trigger the ire of the religious and political leaders of the city. The pomp and circumstance of a royal parade leads us to execution of an old rabbi who I don't think ever wanted the attention anyway. The Palm Sunday parade, I think, is a sign for us about how we welcome God in, but I think it's also a sign to us on how God continues to work in the world. You see, I don't think that God or Jesus want elaborate parades for them. They don't want our shouts of exultation. They don't want major newscasts from every broadcasting company that could ever get a camera in front of them. Instead, God wants our hearts. God wants our lives. God wants our all. Parades are easy to be a part of. You show up, you line the roadways, you might cheer, you might wave. If you're in this village, if you're a kid, you get some candy. But when it's all said and done, you pack up your seats and you go back and you don't have to worry about it anymore. It's not what God wants from us. God wants our full attendance. God wants our body, our mind, our heart, and a soul, and our soul. God doesn't want the welcome of a king. God wants the welcome of a trusted friend and teacher, someone who we'd want to have sit at our table and have conversation with. and not one who we would lift up on a throne and only see every now and again. God wants us, all of us, and not just when we want to show up like a parade. God also needs us to continue the work that Jesus began of loving and caring for creation and of changing our world. God wants us to be present just without all the hubbub of Palm Sunday and all the wonderful things that palm leaves might inspire in us. God typically works under the radar in most of how we understand God's work in the world. No elaborate celebrations, no pomp, no circumstance. But that doesn't mean that God isn't using events like that to make change. With Palm Sunday, the parade announced the people's belief in Jesus as the revelation of God, if only for an instant. But it changed the world. That moment where the people said yes, and the political and religious leaders said, I don't think so, and eventually led to execution, death, burial, and resurrection. That perfect storm that was created that allowed for crucifixion to happen and for God to work again. We see it all over the world as God continues to work. Maybe yesterday's gatherings of children across the country, of students and teenagers crying out for change, is again God's way of working in the world, of asking us to see the world differently, of making a place of peace and hope. Maybe it is again a perfect storm, and God will work again to change the world. One might only hope so. Pomp and circumstance, palm fronds, and shouts of Hosanna mark the beginning of the end, so to speak. But they also mark the start of something new, something powerful, something that shakes the foundations of the world that we know. As this week passes, we will remember dinners and worship. We will remember trials and executions. We'll remember lies and betrayals. And in the end, when Sunday comes, we will see God doing something new in us, in our world, and in Christ. Amen.
Streets, thousands came to see him, to cheer as he rose.
And now may God bless and keep you. May God's face shine on you and be gracious to you. May God turn his countenance upon you and give you peace. Amen.